You're listening to Live Free, Think Free on 90.1 KPFT Houston, your home for uncensored news and underground music since 2011.
All right, well, let's go ahead and continue. You are listening to Live Free, Think Free here on 90.1 KPFT Houston and the Conscious Resistance. And as Micah said, we've been broadcasting here on KPFT for 5 years, but also in general for over a decade now at this point. And if you want to stay in touch with our show, especially if you've maybe caught us on KPFT, for those who aren't watching us online, but maybe just listen to us through KPFT, until we're back on the FM, you can always find our upcoming shows and rebroadcasts and clips and archives at thehoustonfreethinkers.com, thehoustonfreethinkers.com. That's the best place to go support us, to share our videos and our archives. And of course, you can look up Live Free, Think Free Radio on Spotify and everywhere else you'll find us. So yeah, one of the things that we have appreciated with our time with KPFT is that, and this has been interesting, is that while we often discuss over the last couple of years, but I think even before most people were paying attention, censorship on the internet and from what's now known as shadow banning, you know, using algorithms to limit people's reach or based on hashtags or certain specific, you know, maybe even just titles or just specific accounts. These things that we all know about now, and then including this whole fact-checking ecosystem that now exists. So we've been covering this for years, and while many people, including us, have been censored or moderated or banned or had videos deleted on various social media platforms on KPFT, besides those seven words we can't say, you know, we're pretty open to share what we like and our views, even when they're not maybe a part of the majority. Well, the next couple of stories I have here relate to this topic of social media and specifically censorship of social media by the Biden administration, and not just the Biden administration kind of on their own, but direct collusion with various social media companies. And so there's a couple of them here. All these, of course, will be linked at thehoustonfreethinkers.com after the show broadcast. I'm not going to read these three articles, but I do want to just make a couple notes, Micah, and then, you know, get your thoughts. I know we've been following these already, but this is starting with the beginning of September. So September 1st up to just the last couple of days, just to kind of show people what's been happening just in the last 3 weeks. Over 50 Biden administration employees, 12 U.S. agencies involved in social media censorship push. And this is according to documents which have been released. And they show senior officials in the U.S. government, including White House lawyer Dana Ramos, deputy assistant to the president Rob Flaherty, and one-time White House senior COVID-19 advisor Andy Slavitt, have been in touch with one or more major social media companies to try to get the companies to tighten rules on allegedly false and misleading information on COVID-19 and to take action against users who violate the rules. In July 2021, for instance, after Biden said that Facebook was, quote, killing people by not combating misinformation, an executive at Meta, formerly Facebook, reached out directly to Surgeon General Vivek Murthy, a Biden appointee, to say that the government and Meta teams met after the remarks to, quote, better understand the scope of what the White House expects from us on misinformation going forward. The same executive letter wrote to Murthy saying, I wanted to make sure you saw the steps we took just this past week to adjust policies on what we are removing with respect to misinformation, as well as steps taken to further address the disinfo dozen, including removing pages linked to the group. And the disinfo dozen, of course, includes people that you know, I've worked with and people who are, I know, fans of this show, including Sayer G, Dr. Mercola, I think Del Bigtree's in there, you know, a host of other people who this disinformation doesn't label. And so these documents are coming out of ongoing lawsuits. There's actually two or three, maybe more dozen, probably up to a dozen lawsuits going on right now related to this. I know one of them involves Louisiana and one involves Texas. This other one, reported September 7th, judge orders Fauci and White House press secretary to hand over records related to online censorship pressure. This is related to the lawsuit taking place in U.S. District Court for the Western District of Louisiana, which issued this ruling saying that Dr. Anthony Fauci and White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre need to respond to document requests by the New Civil Liberties Alliance in conjunction with the Missouri and Louisiana Attorney Generals on behalf of plaintiffs in the state of Missouri versus Joseph R. Biden. Judge Terry A. Doty made the order and basically is saying that they need to release this documentation, saying that they don't have a right to just deny it. The judge's ruling says, quote, or is ruling on whether the White House defendants, White House press secretary, and Dr. Anthony Fauci should be compelled to respond to the plaintiff's interrogatories and document requests, and whether Fauci, in his capacity as head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, the NIH, should be required to provide additional responses to plaintiffs' document requests. And the judge ruled in favor of the plaintiffs and said the defendants have no legal right to refuse to comply with the order. Quote, in accordance with the previous expedited discovery order, plaintiffs served interrogatories and document requests upon White House Press Secretary and Dr. Anthony Fauci. The government defendants have refused to provide any interrogatory responses or responsive documents, maintaining that these would be internal communications that would implicate serious separation of powers concerns. The plaintiffs are required to exhaust other avenues for the discovery first, and that it would be unduly burdensome and disproportional. Okay, so just a lot of legal speak to get her to the point of saying that they don't have the right to deny the public access to these documents. And yeah, so this organization, the National New Civil Liberties Alliance, is representing several plaintiffs who are suing big tech platforms and the White House. And yeah, so the judge ruled in this ruling about 2 weeks ago, saying that Dr. Fauci's communications would be relevant to the allegations in reference to alleged suppression of speech relating to the lab leak theory of COVID-19 and the alleged suppression of speech about the efficiency, I think they mean efficacy, of masks in COVID-19 lockdowns. And the judge said, Jing, the secretary's communications as press secretary could be relevant to all of the plaintiff's examples. Government defendants are making a blanket assertion of all communications to social media platforms by Fauci and the press secretary based upon executive privilege. He goes on basically saying they don't have the right to do that. So yeah, that's another one. So it seems that in the coming weeks, months, however long this takes, Fauci's personal communications with certain social media companies and the press secretary will be released. And then the third one, and I'm done here for this little part. This one's just a week ago. Court rules against social media companies and free speech censorship fight. And this one's really interesting, Micah. This is, I wonder what you think about this. It says, we reject the idea that corporations have a free-willing First Amendment right to censor what people say. And this is going to go to the Supreme Court for sure, but it says a federal appeals court in New Orleans has ruled in favor of a Texas law that seeks to rein in the power of social media companies like Facebook and Twitter to censor free speech. The decision made by the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans, handed down on September 16th, upholds the constitutionality of a Texas law signed by Greg Abbott last year and delivers a victory to Republicans in their fight against big tech censorship of conservative viewpoints. Today, we reject the idea that corporations have the free-willing First Amendment right to censor what people say, wrote U.S. Circuit Court Judge Andrew Oldham. So it's related to this law known as House Bill 20, which was passed last year. And so NetChoice and the Computer and Communications Industry Association, they sued saying that private companies like Facebook and Twitter have a First Amendment right to moderate their content that's posted on their platforms and to decide on what forms of speech to allow or ban. And they wrote in a press release when they sued, the act tramples the First Amendment by allowing the government to force private businesses to host speech they don't want to. The groups also argued that the Texas law does not only prevent censorship, but allows Texas to, quote, police and control speech online, overriding the First Amendment rights of online businesses. A lower court sided with the lawsuit and decided to block the law. Then this ruling overturned that decision. And the judge continued, in this new ruling, the platforms argue that buried somewhere in the person's enumerated right to free speech lies a corporation's unenumerated right to muzzle speech. He said the implications of the big tech platforms' arguments are staggering, as they would allow entities like social media companies, banks, and mobile phone companies to cancel the accounts of people who express views or spend money in support of political parties or views such corporations oppose. The judge also said that the protections sought by the platforms in challenging the Texas law would allow them to win a dominant market position by attracting users with misleading claims of being champions of free speech, but later cracking down on expression. And the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton called this decision, quote, a massive victory for the Constitution and free speech in a federal court. Big tech cannot censor the political voices of any Texans. So yeah, that's a couple of stories. I know there's a lot of info, Michael, but what do you think about this one first, just in general, this issue here in Texas relating to, can they, you know, stop social media companies from censoring people? Go ahead.
I think it's, you know, it's just opinion here, right? Of course. But one thing I'd say in analysis of this is think of the different situations. Now, we're already talking about government stepping in and doing something either way you cut it. Okay. So that's already presupposed in the solution. Okay, with that being the case, look at the other things that government has come in and said. The argument that the people have basically had that, look, yeah, you have a private business, but you don't, if you have a private business that's open to the public, you don't have the right to exclude people you don't like. Meaning you got to let them in no matter what their religious or sexual or race is, right? Like if you own a bar, if you own a restaurant, right? Why? Because they believe that America is supposed to be this free exchange, this free place for people to go, right? To be able to move about in the public sphere and not have the public sphere sectioned off by people's individual opinion. I see this as very analogous to this, right? Because when you sign up for Facebook or Twitter, they don't say, hey, you know, whatever opinions you express, you know, and these can change, right? Like next month, it's going to be a whole nother set of problems and opinions they don't like. You know, I asked Fauci called them divisive opinions, opinions other than his. But that's the situation. And it's just like the restaurant or the diner that would only serve whites or something, right? I mean, think about it. If the idea of America is supposed to be, you know, this open place where free people are free and able to go, you know, through different public places. I mean, that's what we're aiming for. And if the idea of America is you're supposed to have freedom of speech, you know, other than, you know, certain small restraints like not firing a theater or whatever, and you go and you sign up for these platforms and nowhere do they say right away, you know, if we just don't like your opinion, we're going to ban you and ruin all your content. They invite you to come create content. They say, come on in, you know, all your friends are here. And like that other one we were saying, where they prop themselves up as a bastion of free speech and then just clamp down on it. Well, I you know, how do I put it? I kind of see it as a good thing because, you know, it's going to constantly change. It's going to constantly change. Whatever opinions they don't like today, you know, they'll be banning and blocking. And if they're legitimate, they'll become breaking news in 3 months or 6 months. And then it'll look back. I mean, think if they could have done this back during the 9/11 times, if they could have done this just to the ideas being traded in conversations out there where people knew the problems with weapons of mass destruction. What if they could have just shut down the idea that they're to even contest that there are weapons of mass destruction? What if they could just you know, shut down ideas at any time? And that's kind of what we're getting at.
I think so. And well, let me throw in a couple ideas here, Micah, to what you said. Because first off, so I don't really know. This one I think is just difficult for me because generally speaking, I'm with you on, and I think that this has just been the position of the show of like, don't really favor government intervening with businesses, especially, you know, private businesses, people, right? And that's a slippery slope, right? Getting them involved in this case. And in this case, it's like arguing for quote unquote our side of like, I've been directly censored by YouTube and Facebook, had channels deleted with 5 million plus views, had anti-media and Ben Swan and people I've worked with having millions of followers that helped fund a, you know, website and team of writers through social media deleted overnight. And nobody promised us that, but you know, it was gone because Facebook didn't like the things we were saying. Right. So it's something I have personal experience with. But a couple of things come to mind. Like first off, like it's really difficult to, based on those other stories that we were just showing, like for example, that we now have documented evidence of this direct close relationship between the government, or at least let's say the Biden administration, that we know for sure, and Facebook and Twitter and Google, literally directly. We've talked about this over the last few months, like them directly talking during COVID times, telling them people to target, to go after topics and stuff. And I just think that for me at some point, and then also the connections between like Facebook and Facebook specifically, but Google as well, between the CIA and the Department of Defense, there's this like growing social media, military industrial complex relationship where now there's like a revolving door between those industries where people are going from that military to join Facebook or the intelligence community to join Facebook. There's some really good articles on Mint Press News outlining all the different staff on Facebook now that have come from that industry. So at some point it feels like, how can we still call them private companies, right? Like at least in this case of, you know, we're not talking small businesses, right? We're talking about Facebook, Twitter, Google, these kind of big ones that do have these really, really close relationships that strain the idea, at least in my mind, that they're private. So I don't know if, you know, I never want to use the government as a tool to defend myself, you know, unless absolutely necessary. And maybe the best worst case scenario, the worst best thing that could happen is they, you know, the government does something quote unquote good and stops these companies from being able to silence people's speech. But at the same time, my other thought is that there's already better platforms that exist that are censorship free, that like we're broadcasting on Odyssey and Rockfin right now. Nobody's going to censor us for the things we say, no matter how crazy you think your opinions may be, right? There's platforms for that. But the masses don't know about that because Google, Facebook, et cetera, have monopolized so much of the world. And all the cell phones come with, sorry to go on this rant, cell phones in like Mexico and elsewhere come equipped with basically Facebook and WhatsApp. That's how everybody communicates, you know, any business, anything like that. It's like, you got to use those tools. That's how it is in India and a lot of other places. So they just have this monopoly on it. And yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I think the Texas thing, like it's the Texas government trying to do something good, saying, hey, social media companies can't censor people's free speech. But yeah, where does it go? Maybe there is an argument like the corporations were trying to argue, saying, hey, this gives them the ability to go beyond just protecting speech, but then controlling speech, right? Like it could be bad.
You know, that's the point, right? Because once they're allowed to censor things, then those tools can be used to control speech, basically. And that's the thing about having to keep it open. I think there's a certain point, if you're marketing yourself as a social media platform and you don't have in your terms of services things like, okay, we're not going to talk about just disgusting topics, and I'm sure you could just come up with your own individual ideas, and there's obviously some that more people would agree on, violence and murder, you know, planning a murder, for example. You know, we don't allow people to plan a murder on our site, you know, that sort of stuff. If it's in the terms of service, we can understand that and sign up and agree. But when it's just constantly revised for each new situation, you know, then we're in a whole different world. And I don't tend to favor government solutions, but at the same time, if these entities, Facebook, et cetera, are given a permission to exist, not to mention funding, as you pointed out, you're concerned about the line, whether they're private or public, at the same time, and not meaning public, meaning governmental, that's corporatism, right? So at the same time, if they are, I don't really have a problem with the government forcing them to abide by the fundamental law of this country that at least most people would agree on, that we have the ability to express ourselves as long as it's not endangering
others. Sure. Yeah, that's not a bad point. We got this comment from Five of a Kind Media. When government works with social media companies behind closed doors, it's no longer social media, it's state-run media. I like that. You're listening to Live Free, Think Free on 90.1 KPFT Houston and the Conscious Resistance Network.
Since 2012, the Conscious Resistance Network has been an independent media organization focused on empowering individuals through education, philosophy, health, and community organizing. We work to create a world where corporate and state power do not rule over the lives of free human beings. Our motto is leading by example and helping others in their pursuit of freedom. Visit theconsciousresistance.com to find our articles, documentaries, interviews, podcasts, books, and more. Remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free.